Hi, I'm Taylor Carman.
And I'm Eric Kaplan.
I'm a professor of philosophy at Barnard College, Columbia University.
I'm a Hollywood TV writer with a PhD in philosophy. And we are the hosts of Terrifying Questions and How Not to Be Terrified by Them, the philosophy podcast that asks a different terrifying question each week and shows us how to be courageous using philosophy.
So what kinds of questions are they?
Well, is the world a simulation?
Are we evil?
What is evil?
Is life meaningless?
Is everybody having a better love life than us, and we're doomed to be lonely by some accident of early childhood or genetics?
Are we cursed by God?
Or Zeus?
And if we were, how would we know?
Right.
Is all virtue and excellence an illusion?
We will deal with these with courage and reach a point where we and you are courageous.
So join us.
Terrifying Questions and How Not to Be Terrified by Them.
A philosophy podcast presented by Starburns Audio.
You can hear it wherever you get your podcasts, including Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple, or Radio Free Aldebaran.
Starburns Audio.
Go. Say it. Say it.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Mean it. Say it again.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
No, not sexy, like real.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Nailed it.
Kind of learned the solo to Love song by Tesla. Pretty proud of myself on that one.
I don't know that song.
Oh, I'm sorry. Love you don't song. Know the greatest rock ballad.
How's it go?
You might want to say of the 80s, but I would say of the 20th century.
I got so many of those 80s metal bands confused. Like,
as you should.
They all just kind of blend together for me.
Of course they did. It was somebody was talking about the other day how like when you think of the 80s, everybody thinks like new wave and Duran Duran and all this stuff. The hair metal part really gets forgotten in the history of the 80s.
Yeah.
Not for me, baby.
I was a big Whitesnake guy in fourth grade.
You know what's funny? I thought Whitesnake at first was the shit, and now when Whitesnake comes on the radio, I can't stand it. It's like too corny. And I like some corny shit.
Yeah, you do like some corny shit.
Okay, all right. I said it too. I said it about myself, Dave. Double down.
Nah. But, I love how you're such a fan of the 80s hair metal stuff.
I mean, within the cornball shit, there's some, you know, quality musicians caught up in a lot of posturing.
Who's your favorite band from that era, from that genre? If you had to pick one, Motley Crue?
Oh, it's Tesla.
Tesla? Really? Yeah, Tesla's your fave?
Tesla wasn't fully cocked out. They weren't makeup or anything. They were more like trucker rock. I think they carried the torch more from like your 70s era arena rock bands. And so the New York Dolls type thing didn't really enter into it and turn it into like your Rats and your Poisons and your Bang Tangos and your Bullet Boys, your Y&Ts, who else are we going to? Yeah.
Do you think, I never put that together, so do you think the whole 80s hair metal, let's wear spandex and dress like women and do our hair up, did that come from New York Dolls?
Well, glam metal, glam rock. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, that's a 70s that's like coming out of like T-Rex.
Yeah.
And New York Dolls and some of the like a little bit more like David Bowie, you could say, kind of like was going one way. And I think he influenced more of the new wave stuff more than the metal stuff. But yeah, it had punk rock roots.
Yeah, I never connected those two, but that makes sense.
Yeah, I think Sabbath influenced your other guys within that scene, and that you got more of your heavy metal genre. But like, even the Misfits were wearing makeup. They're wearing scary. They weren't wearing like full lady makeup, but it was kind of like you're trying to fuck with people, you know?
Yeah.
And especially if like it's all 70s macho dude rock. Like, yeah, we're going to wear lipstick and shit.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, speaking of dressing in drag, shout out to our boys, the Vandaliers.
Yeah.
They were up to last
week. Making the news.
Yeah, good for them. Fucking anti-drag bill in Tennessee. They're like, fuck you. We're wearing drag. I love it.
It's cool times out in America.
Is that that's the top of the list of what we need to worry about? Tennessee, all the other problems in Tennessee have been solved.
Well, to be fair, I think just reading out loud in public is considered arrogant in Tennessee. So they don't like that story time.
What a fucking embarrassment.
Really, you're really throwing your literacy in the face of the citizens of Tennessee when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's me making fun of everybody from Tennessee. Huh? How about it? Huh? Yeah, it's the new satanic panic, guys, the drag queens.
Fucking morons. Fucking morons. Who gives a shit? Ugh.
Well, these Christians, you know how the Christians love their neighbor. Oh, never mind. That's not how they're behaving, but
Mm-hmm.
It's Christians that, you know, that children are the most important thing. So obviously they've been protesting the Catholic Church all these years. They've been out there.
Exactly.
Oh, they haven't been doing that. They but then we want to protect the children. So obviously they're doing a little bit more about probably gun control.
Laws.
Oh, no, yeah. we're not doing that.
Okay, no.
Okay. No. All right, that was a good argument I read online today. We're like, all right. Like trying to bridge the gap between the left and the right of like, all right, if you get all the gun nuts to agree that mass shootings have to do with mental health and not necessarily access to guns, like, all right, we can agree with that. Let's spend some money on mental health care. Nope. Well, shit, guys. I don't know. Where's the assistance? Where's the give?
Talking about your feelings is gay. Everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be gay.
Don't be gay.
Big tough man. Ugh.
Actually, I learned about all the gay categories in a bar in Nashville.
Oh, really?
Some guy was telling me what was what.
I can never keep up.
I think they change. I think it's an ongoing thing. But I guess I would be a cub because I'm not big enough to be a bear, but I'm a hairy fellow. He's like, no, you're an otter. I'm like, well, there's otters.
Okay.
So I learned I was an otter.
So what would a cub be then?
I guess not. Nothing. Nothing.
There is no cub. Okay.
Yeah, they don't have to follow like the genus, species, genus system. They just do what they've had to make up their own rules this far. So
I can't keep up with the bandana colors. You see a lot of that around.
I mean, are you trying
my
to?
My neighborhood.
Are you trying?
No, but I still would like to know. I'd like to know who's flying what. You know, what's that mean? Just in case. You know, if I could be of any assistance.
In case of what? In case you just need a bandana? This. Just for drying my hands off when I don't have paper towels in the bathrooms, Phil. I don't know what to say.
The maroon one stands for barbecue.
That, I mean, I feel like that's one of those like paranoia, like, oh, this is a secret code. It's like, if you go into a bar where everybody's wearing bandanas of different colors, then maybe there, but not just on the street. Some guy's gonna jam his fist up your ass because you got a little Bruce Springsteen hanging out the back there.
Hey, come here! I see your bandana. Come here.
Yeah.
These are the rules.
That means old
Be
Bruce.
Still.
That means the boss means something else entirely.
Oh boy!
What are we doing? What are we chopping up? What are you getting into, Dave? You've been down. You've been down doing shows. You've been enjoying Southern California weather. You have the sun. What does that look like?
I say, oh, it's great, beautiful. It has been raining again this week, but it's back to normal. Just absolutely gorgeous today. 72, sunny.
Yeah, everything's flooding down there.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, we had. I mean, it's been raining on and off for like 3 weeks here, and cleared up yesterday. It's looking good. I spent a whole day in Long Beach the other day. I had a show at 8 o'clock, and I get paranoid about L.A. traffic, so I left my house at 2. You know, I like to give myself a good 6-hour buffer, just in case.
You're not wrong, and Long Beach is cool, so.
Yeah, hung out in Long Beach, just loitering in the park for a while. That was fun.
I mean, is there loitering in the park? What's the park for?
Yeah, I guess that's the one place you can loiter. But yeah, spent some time in the park, went and checked out some of my old stomping grounds, record stores. Shout out to Third Eye and Fingerprints, two great record stores. And had a real fun show over at Roxanne's Bar.
So oh, yeah?
A good time. Some boogers out there. Got to meet a few boogers.
Tell me about it. What's going on? Time.
Yeah, just, you know, have you been down there? I know you've been to Alex's Bar in Long Beach. That's a cool spot. But Roxanne's Bar is cool, too. It's kind of in the same neighborhood, kind of north Long Beach. But then they got this little, like, Prohibition-era back room, speakeasy type thing. You got to walk through a little phone booth. They got, like, an actual old-school walk-in phone booth.
Okay.
And you think, it feels like you're just walking into a phone booth, but then on the back end is a door. And you walk through that, and boom, you're in another little room.
It's like a spy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fun.
I did feel kind of like a spy. So, yeah, that was fun, hanging out doing that, just goofing off this week. Oh, man, I had one of the best egg rolls I've ever had in my life.
Okay, now normally egg rolls fall into the category of like, yep, that was an egg roll.
Mm-hmm. No, this is one of the best egg rolls I've ever had in my life. And I wanted to talk to you about mustard. I know other people have probably figured out this math. I love a good egg roll, but man, sometimes, can you agree that sometimes the spicy mustard that they give you at the Asian restaurants, it's a little intense.
Oh, yeah. You know?
It's a bit much. I like spicy stuff, but man, sometimes some of this mustard, it's just out of control, Kyle. So I did the other day, I had a great egg roll. I pulled out some deli mustard. Got a new brand of deli mustard I've been really happy with lately. Beaver brand deli mustard.
I'm familiar, sure.
Delicious. I love that kind of mustard that's got the seeds in it. It's little, you just feel them, you know, cracking, and it's like eating Rice Krispies.
I believe it's a grain.
Yeah, is it a grain? I don't know what it is. But,
isn't it called whole grain mustard?
Ah, there you go. That makes sense now. But yeah, my point is, don't be afraid to use deli mustard on an egg roll. Now, I don't know if that's appropriation of cultures or clash of cultures.
I don't think fear is what's stopping people, Dave.
You know? But, dude, really just
throw a little ketchup and relish on there. Put it in a bun.
That's a bit much. Ketchup on a
Chicago-style dog, but all the ingredients are chopped up in the rice paper.
Wrap it up in the egg roll paper.
Deep fried.
Oh, I like what you're doing there. But, yeah, man, I just went to town. The deli mustard on a good egg roll. Shout out to Genghis Cohen here in West Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
Best egg roll I've ever eaten, for real. Just
good
place
to eat. Bad place to do comedy.
Yeah, I've had some rough shows there. But, yeah, deli mustard on my egg roll the other day just really made my day, Kyle. Just really turned things around.
I'm glad that's all it takes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Some people would call you simple. I call you streamlined. People are like, all Dave needed was a little bit of non-traditional mustard for his egg roll. He's happy.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Look at that guy. I say that's a guy that's got it figured out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what I like, and I know how to get there. But yeah, that's the extent of my week. I watched Deer Hunter.
It hasn't been an adventurous week. I don't think we have a lot on the... Mm-mm. On the personal end, I did go to a birthday party at Fogo de Chao.
Ooh, okay.
Not about lost on me.
Oh, right. Well, they got a good salad bar. Okay. Did you get up on that salad bar?
I fucked up. They did have a great salad bar.
Mm-hmm.
But just real, real gay guy at the strip club vibes for me. Like, oh, this is.
Look at that.
I'm happy. For you. I'm happy for you guys. I love this for you. It looked great though. It was less gay guy at a strip club. It was more a married guy at a strip club. I was just like, oh,
okay.
Don't touch any of it, Kyle.
Yeah, you're attracted to it. You wouldn't mind getting down on that, but you've
made
a vow.
I guess my
made a vow
to
yourself.
Wrong. Yeah.
Oh, man. I like the idea of having a birthday party at Fogo de Chao.
Yeah. Real that priest is... at the amusement park vibes for me.
For those not familiar with Fogo de Chao, get your life together. But Brazilian steakhouse, all you can eat.
Fuego de Chao is Spanish for fucking eat it.
Yo, fucking eat it, yeah. What do they call it? Gauchos? So it's the guys?
Yeah, the little, cool, the cowboys. Cool, the cowboys, yeah. The little. And the swords.
Do you have the card system?
Yeah, it's like, it looked like cards. A little coaster on the table, green. Mm-hmm. And even if they just come by and ask anyway.
Yeah.
But it's nice. It makes it fun to do a little card thing. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good, man.
But yeah, it was good looking food there. They had seafood. I had eaten and I had to get to the airport, so I was just stopping by.
Okay.
Good looking stuff in there. Good looking.
Yeah. I mean, it's good that you stuck to your guns because you don't want a full Fogo de Chao experience right before you get on an airplane.
No. No. And also, like, it's one of those things like, okay, put one meal in front. I'd be like a dog. I wouldn't know how to stop eating. Well, that was everybody there. Everybody's like, they come back around like, ooh, about New York steak. And everybody's just so full. And they're like, oh, okay. Like, nobody has restraint.
Yeah.
This is America. If you paid for it, you're going to make sure you put a herd on them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Good looking swords of beef.
That's fun. You on the road this weekend? Where were you?
Meat swords, male nudity at Brazilian Steakhouse. Just call us. Yeah. Well, yeah, Rachel's plan is to open one called the Pickle Factory. She wants to open a strip club called the Pickle Factory, and I want to open a competing one. This will be like Chippendales. Mm-hmm. And I'll open a competing one, and it's going to be called the Brazilian Steakhouse. So it's nothing but meat swords.
Oh boy. Pickle Factory.
Yeah, Rachel's got some good ideas.
I wouldn't mind a pickle buffet. You know, add a fancy salad bar like a Fogo de Chao. What if they had
now, right? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. What if they had like a whole wing of the salad bar that was just a variety of pickles? 10, 12 different varieties. That'd be nice.
Name 10 varieties of pickles.
Well, not, you know, you could make them. You know, these are mild dill. These are spicy dill. These are bread and butter. This one's bread only. That one's butter only.
That's not real. You got three. You got to three.
I don't like when they mix the bread and the butter. Just give me a butter pickle.
You got to three types of pickles.
I'm sure there's 10 varieties. I mean, I'm not a pickle connoisseur, but I'm sure there's at least 10 varieties of pickles.
I'm surprised you haven't gotten into pickling.
I pickle every now and then. I'll pickle some eggs. I'll pickle some okra.
It's an occasional pickler.
I dabble. I dabble in pickling. You're the one that taught me the shortcut years ago. Never even crossed my mind.
Oh, that's some white trash refurbication. Yeah, that's some.
It works though.
Appalachian ingenuity.
You get your whole jar of pickles. Once you eat all the pickles, you keep that brine and just throw some cucumbers back in there and let that sit for a while.
It'll get you
good
through.
Idea. Mm-hmm.
It's good. It's good in a fix.
Yeah.
It's like huffing gas when you really want heroin. It's not going to scratch the itch the way you want it to, but it'll do it when you need it.
Oh, man. Did you watch the Oscars?
Fuck no.
You don't give a shit about those, do you?
No.
Did you watch that movie? You said you were going to watch Everywhere, Everybody.
No, I started watching Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
And so that's my movie time.
Lord of the Rings.
That's... Yeah, well, nobody says you got to say Lord of the Rings. Like, nobody, there's no rule on where you put the emphasis.
I can't right now. I'm watching Lord of the Rings.
Lord seems to be the most important part of the sentence.
That's a good point.
Lord of the anything. Lord's the most important part.
In my household, it is.
Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
What's he the Lord of? Oh, he's the Lord of the Rings. That's the answer. That's an answer to a question about what's this guy the Lord of.
Now, did you just watch the one or did you watch all three?
I'm halfway through the second one. I've been going piecemeal. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Rachel's out of town, so it's just me and Lil D kicking it.
Okay.
Probably finish that second one tonight, I think. We got about an hour and a half left.
Did you ever watch Skinamarink?
Oh.
I can't wait to hear your review on that. You gave me shit. Because I wasn't
sure
open-minded enough to enjoy it.
I sure did, Dave. I sure did.
Yeah, how'd you like it there, fuckface? Tell me you liked that one, you fucking liar.
I don't know. I fell asleep 20 minutes into it. Better than any.
Of course you did.
God, better than any anesthesia.
Yeah.
Man, if I got a dentist appointment, put on that movie.
Jesus Christ.
I didn't make it long enough to find out if I didn't like it.
Uh-huh.
Because it was just like, I thought it was like ASMR or something. I didn't know what was supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, well, so I don't even know. I don't even know. I watched 20 minutes of it, and then I just did not care to start it.
Well, let me go ahead and tell you. You saw the whole movie.
Okay.
Nothing fucking happened.
All right.
Just fucking art house bullshit. Ugh. I like that kind of weird. I watch fucking, what's the stupid movie? Fucking Eraserhead. At least that had, at least you could see the people's faces. At least that had characters. Just a couple little kids walking around the whole time.
Yeah, I could not drum up a fuck for that movie. You're right. You're right, Dave.
Thank you. I mentioned briefly, I watched Deer Hunter again for the first time in like 15 years the other day. Damn,
oh, man. What were you in, too good of a mood?
That's a fucking movie. Good Lord.
Would you have a big smile on your face you couldn't get rid of?
Jesus Christ, that movie's intense. But yeah, I enjoyed it though. Man, that Russian roulette shit. Good Lord. That was, oh, you know what else I watched? I haven't seen this. Literally, I watched this when I was like 5 years old. Hadn't seen it since. For some reason, I went back and watched Superman. Christopher Reeves.
Really?
Reeve, yeah, singular. Man, it holds up. That's a fun movie.
Was it?
Gene Hackman.
Hackman, sure. Luthor. Hackman in anything. Give me some Hackman.
Yeah. And I know this is like one of the most commonly referred to things of that whole story, but it is so true when you see it like in the movie. No one had any clue that Clark Kent and Superman were the same guy. They look identical. Oops, Clark Kent's got on glasses. I don't know who this is now.
I think they would
have done something to like disguise him a little more. Or is that like the point? Like, I couldn't tell if, and I don't know enough about Superman, like the original comics and all that, but like you would think they would give him a little more of a disguise than just, oh, he's got on glasses, so now no one will know. Because in the movie, Christopher Reeve, he's like 6'4", 220 pounds, which is pretty uncommon dimensions. And what are the odds that this other guy has the same body type?
I mean, that's the... Well, I never... Superman, I was just like, oh, he's... Again, it's like maybe I got to watch the fantasy movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird that I'll have an imagination for ghosts and aliens and all these other subjects, but I like Superman of all the superheroes, like he's super good job. Like there's nothing, like how is that interesting? Oh, fucking Mr. Perfect over here. Like it doesn't, what am I supposed to do with that?
He's a good fella.
Yeah, he's just a great dude. Oh, and there's a bad dude.
I forgot the plot of that first one. Lex Luthor, he owns pretty much all the land immediately east of the San Andreas Fault in California, Nevada. So his idea, I don't spoil anything on a 45-year-old movie, but I thought this was funny. So Lex Luthor, in addition to being a universal villain, he's also into real estate. He owns a lot of land.
And that is very villainous.
Yeah.
Nowadays, that's the main villain of the world.
That's true. But he owns a lot of the land immediately east of the San Andreas Fault. So his idea was they stole some missiles, and they were going to fire four or five missiles simultaneously to land on the San Andreas Fault in hopes that they take everything west of the fault will fall off into the ocean, and now all the land that he owns will now be oceanfront property, thus increasing the value of his land.
I mean, it's you dream big when you're a villain, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Risk big, reward big. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Speaking of...
Superman spoiled that.
Yeah, well, he's super.
Mm-hmm. He tracked down the missiles. He could fly as fast as a missile. So
didn't he turn the Earth back around or something? I didn't have room for it as a kid.
Okay, yeah, right, sure. It's fun though. It's fun to go back and revisit. I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to go back and watch some of these sci-fi fantasy movies that maybe I've ignored my entire life.
This will be a, well, it's real estate related, but it's a mm-hmm. boogie monster related topic. I was okay. going from the airport to the hotel in Albany, and then the highway goes around. It looked like Halloween decorations.
Huh.
There's a cemetery. It's a 19th century cemetery. I'm looking up the info now. It's the Wolf Kemp Cemetery. Mm. But it's just like this family of farmers that they rerouted the whole new highway to go around so as to not to disturb this cemetery. But it looks like like tombstones you'd buy for Halloween, stuck in a hill, all at jaunty angles.
Ooh.
It looks like if there's a cemetery in the Great Pumpkin Caper, you know? Or something. Like, oh, look at that hill with the silhouettes of tombstones sticking out at different angles. And it was just real on the side of the highway, and it very ominous. Hmm. Like, there's the history behind the older buildings in the western part of America. The history is the sad part.
Yeah.
Because it's all like, you know, I've been making the jokes, but it's just all where they've just like, what was this room for? Well, we just kept the Chinese in there. You know, that's like, that's
yeah.
That's the bad stuff there. But then it's the grave sites that are all in the east that are just the ones that are still 200, 300, 400 years old that they still have like preserved while these super highways go around them. Mm-hmm. But it's like, well, there's just 20 graves on a hill that we still... I didn't read enough to know if like there's still family members to be like, oh, don't disturb.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me is like, yeah, you shouldn't. Yeah, you want your super highway work around. And the other part of me is like, the 200-year-old dead people, fuck them. Like, by God. Yeah, you know, I have conflicting opinions about what should have been done with that. But
I always found it weird when people are buried on their own land, on their own property. My great-grandmother... I remember being very small, and we'd go down to Molina, Georgia to visit my great-grandmother, and she had like a kind of a sprawling pasture-type deal. You know, she probably had like 20, 30 acres. But then like five or six of her dead relatives are just in the front yard, just next
front
to the
yard.
Azaleas.
Bold
yeah, front yard. Yeah, she had like I said, a lot of land, but then up where the house was, she had kind of a normal, you know, about an acre worth of a lot where that was manicured and right in the front yard, just off to the side, there's like four or five graves. You know, it's like, you didn't want to put these folks in an actual cemetery. Plus, I don't know if you could do that today with zoning laws and stuff.
Yeah, I wonder what that does to property value.
Yeah, I don't know. But I always thought that was weird. And you see that a lot in the country too, like just people who have like a family farm or whatever. And like, yeah. Oh, there's a couple of headstones.
Now there's different protocol on how to bury it. But like I told you, if like there's a whole death positive movement that's out there, and I follow some accounts that kind of like, yeah, this is going to happen to all of us. It's weird that you don't want to discuss it in a healthy manner.
Death positive
meaning you're going to die. Why is everybody so freaked out? Why is it so taboo to discuss or to acknowledge that it's the one common inevitable factor in all our lives? So like, yeah, talk about ways you'd like to be buried. Talk about ethical ways you want to have a plan ready. It's not, you're not cursing yourself by having a plan. I don't have one. I have things that I'd like, but it's not like I have them committed into a will or anything.
You want to be buried or cremated or something else? What's your choice?
Part me out. Get what you can out of me.
Okay.
And then, either cremate it or make me one of these trees, you know, or let the worms get me. There's no need to seal it off.
I do like those tree pods. That's what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, get buried into a tree thing. That is pretty cool. I wouldn't mind doing that.
I wonder if everybody's like, donate. I want to donate my organs. And they open them up. They're like, this is a, oof. It's like when a, like when you give your leftovers to a homeless person. They're like, nah, no, no thanks. Nah. I'm good. I'm good, actually.
Oh, man, that's funny. If you ever need a liver, I got one about yay big.
Yeah. I got, I mean, this thing's got some miles on it, but. So I was trying to do a joke about, like, you don't know what kind of science you're being donated to. Like, when you donate your body. Like, what if you're just going to sports medicine?
Yeah.
Like, what if your body is just tied to a chair and put at the end of a tennis court because they're testing out the new tennis ball pitcher? They're testing out the new batting cage machines. They want to make sure they're not too dangerous. So they got to see what damage they do to the human body.
Oh, man. That's funny.
I don't know.
Oh, boy.
Why? What are you doing?
I don't know. I still don't know if I want to be cremated or buried.
I've done the jokes about it, but I think just burying, it's like such a waste of space.
Stuffed and mounted, maybe? I don't know.
Somebody has to have been, that had that. Somebody's been.
Taxidermy.
Somebody's been preserved. What was it? Was the baseball player whose head fell out of a truck? Ted Williams, then his frozen
Ted,
head fall
I
out
knew
of a truck.
Ted Williams. I didn't know anything about it falling out of a truck. What's
yeah,
that?
Yeah, his head fell out of a truck. I'll look it up. Before I keep talking like I know the whole story.
I know you don't care about baseball, but get this
I
shit.
Care about right, he, frozen heads falling out of trucks.
He was arguably the best player of his generation. And then in the middle of his career, in his prime, he chose to go fly planes in World War II. And then he came. I think he did that twice. I think he was playing Major League Baseball, decided to take a break, go to the war, flew a bunch of missions, came back, played a little more, and then went back and did it again. Could you imagine a star athlete today just being like, I'm going to take a couple years off and go fight in the war?
Well, there's a conspiracy theory if you want to go down that. Was it Tillman?
Mm-hmm.
Football player, went to Iraq.
Pat Tillman.
Mm-hmm. And one of the stories was that he was about to speak out about the kind of atrocities. So it was a little bit of friendly fire that maybe took him out.
Yeah, well, they know. I'm pretty sure it's a fact that he was, at best, the victim of friendly fire.
Yeah.
But, yeah, could have been not so friendly.
Does it sound friendly to me?
Uh-uh. But, yeah, I hope that's not true. But, geez, if so, like, what an insane story.
Well, you want to talk about movies that I bought. Platoon was on.
Dude, I was just about to say, I just rewatched Platoon the other day.
Same thing.
I was like, about to make the same thing with Tom Berenger and Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, I'm like, what am I doing watching this? Why do I need this again? But yeah, same thing. Okay, this guy's going to be court-martialed, and the guy who's going to tell on you is now out in the jungle with you with a gun. What's going to happen?
Yep.
You're already shooting other people to preserve some concept. What's another one, you know? Preserve your own safety.
In that scenario, in that movie, I thought, though, maybe I was thinking too far ahead, but, like, they're going to retrieve the body. I would assume most soldiers who die in combat, if possible, they retrieve the body. But, like, the ballistics, like, oh, how weird that he got shot by the same gun that we all carry.
I mean, I don't think that. Everybody's got every kind of gun. I don't know about that part of it, about the criminal investigation. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, when he told Sheen that he was dead, not to worry about it, and then they get on the plane and then they see him running. He's like, oh, he's not dead. You thought he was dead. Yeah, that's I hadn't seen that in forever, too. I think the Deer Hunter, that made me want to go watch some more war movies, and then I saw Platoon. I was like, yeah, let's check this out again.
I just want to, you know, you got to depend on, I'm sure it's not unlike the police force, like, well, you got to depend on these other people for your safety, but you see them doing some fucked up shit. Yeah, you'd want that to, okay, report them doing that fucked up shit. But now, Everybody's still looking out for them, not you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, whoops. Accidents, you know?
Oh, there was... I experienced a less severe version of that all the time. A real common thing that would happen... Not to go down memory lane too much, but you have a beat partner, all right? And what that means is, like, mm-hmm. for example, I worked one beat. You got your precinct, and then the precinct is basically your territory, and then those are subdivided up into beats. So mm-hmm. I'm 313 beat. My beat partner would be 314. He has the neighboring little territory.
Okay.
So whenever I go on a call, if I get a call, if he's not doing, if my beat partner's not doing anything, he's supposed, he or she or they, supposed to come and assist me and back me up.
Okay.
But what you get is you get a bunch of these little gung-ho ticket writers. That was the other thing. All the politics involved in the police department. Like, you got some cops that all they want to do is go out and produce stats, meaning they want to write tickets, they want to make arrests. They want to produce stats. Hey, I wrote this amount of tickets this month, or I made this amount of arrests this month. And then you got other cops that just want to go handle their 911 calls. And yeah. a lot of times you'd keep a date, what we called a daily, just kind of a little chart or list of everything you did that night. Well, sometimes I'd come in and I'd have no tickets and no arrest. And mm-hmm. then my sergeant's like, what the fuck? What are you doing? And then I show him my daily and I'm like, hey, asshole, I responded to 13 different 911 calls tonight. I'm sorry mm-hmm. I didn't have time to go write a fucking speeding ticket. But anyway, my point is, so many... I had a beat partner. This guy, he was a nice enough dude, but he was a gung-ho ticket writer. That's all the fuck he would do is write tickets. Yeah. So I went to so many dangerous calls alone with no backup because my beat partner is out there writing fucking speeding tickets. And there's been cases in other departments and stuff where, like... cops go to a dangerous call by themselves with no backup because the guy who should have been their backup is just jacking off writing fucking expired tag tickets. And then that other officer gets killed. And it's like, yeah. where was his backup?
Well, I was writing tickets.
Yeah, but I got us $75 for the city.
Exactly. Good for you. Way to go, buddy. But yeah, and I, you know, there was a lot of like animosity and drama involved in that, you know, like yeah. hey jackass, I almost got shot tonight with no backup. I hope your tickets went well. But yeah, that was always a fucking headache. Like, what are your stats like? Well, listen, dickhead, if you want to pull me off of 911 calls, I'll sit here and write fucking tickets all day long if that's what the fuck you want. But I can't do both at the same time.
Yeah, I think we've all dealt with the ticket guy.
Yeah. Ugh.
We've all been on that end. Oh, pick it up. Hold on, I'm watching a guy. All right, he's cool. He's picking up the poop. I got a direct line out into my yard where we put the don't let your dog poop on the yard sign. It's raining out. Guy's still picking up the poop. Thank you. You're a good neighbor.
Man, I'm such a good dog owner. I pick up the pee.
Ugh. She got a sham wow out there. Don't I got it, guys.
I make Charlie pee into a little bottle. I just stick that down there. Yeah. His leg.
Just you anyway. You yelling, hold it. You hold it. I have taken a call on the things like that's either turds or now whatever I scoop out of the litter box, I call them piss fritters.
Those are terrible. Those yeah. taste awful.
Yeah, don't even bother deep frying them. They're not going to get any better. Oh, I was like, I told a whole box full of piss fritters in the morning.
Oh, man. I've done this move before where it'll be nighttime and it's dark and Charlie will drop a deuce and then I can't find it. And I don't have my phone or flashlight on me. So I've done a phantom scoop before where like, just in case anybody's yeah. watching, they see me bend over with a bag and pick something up.
And you got a tiny dog. I'm not saying it's right, but I understand. Mm-hmm. And it's a tiny dog. It's a tiny turd. I'm saying the one, like, you yeah. can see. Yeah. I thought you were about to go somewhere else. Like, oh, sometimes when it's dark out, I'm like, don't say you piss in the litter box.
No.
Just one sidewalk square of concrete the next day. Okay, well, I want to go back to, I didn't find anything about Ted Williams' head falling out of a truck, but I didn't.
Where
find,
did you hear that story? Well,
I don't know. I thought somebody's head fell out of a truck. But
I know he had his head frozen.
Well, he was frozen in two parts. Hold on. ESPN, there's an article. It's a new book by a former employee of Elcor, the company that froze Ted Williams' remains, alleges the Baseball Hall of Famer's body was mistreated by the company. Larry Johnson says in the book, Frozen, My Journey into the World of Cryogenics, Deception, and Death, that he watched an Elcor official swing a monkey wrench at Williams' frozen head's severed head to try and remove a tuna can stuck to it. Why? Was it in the same fridge as people's lunch?
Oh, my God.
Okay. Elcor says, Johnson says Elcor used the cans from a cat that lived on the premises as pedestals for the heads. That's what happens when you freeze your body. They use old cat food cans to prop your head.
Oh, my God.
He then grabbed a monkey wrench, heaved a mighty swing, missed the tuna can and completely, but hitting the head dead center, Johnson wrote. Tiny pieces of the frozen head sprayed around the room.
Oh, no. Oh, what a nightmare.
I guess these people really don't think you're coming back.
Yeah.
Like, we can freeze you. We can't defrost you.
Isn't Walt Disney frozen?
I thought that was...
So what's the hope there? That we're just going to freeze you and it's in hopes, that, you know, 100
you said
years
that,
down the road we figure it out?
The sentence I was reading, the process known as cryogenics, is conducted with the hope that someday scientists will be able to bring the subjects back to life. I think it's that... I mean, well, cold-blooded, wasn't you and I learned that? The difference between warm-blooded animals and cold-blooded animals is that they can get down. They can freeze. Like, frogs freeze in the winter and defrost.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
And so, I guess that's the hope. That, yeah, okay, me too.
Would you do that?
No.
Speaking of how you want to be buried.
No.
Yeah, they could freeze my head. That'd be pretty cool. What if we came back 500 years later?
Think about a steak that you freeze for too long.
Mm-hmm.
And you make that steak. Mm-hmm. You're like, whoa, this definitely tastes like it's been frozen for a while.
Yeah, you're not supposed to. I think about 6 months is about. Some people think it's just kind of a foolproof. Just throw it in the freezer. It'll last forever. Like, you don't really want to eat frozen meat after about 6 months.
No. Do you want to live having been frozen meat?
It'd be neat to at least come back 500 years later and be like, holy shit, so this is what's
you're
going
not
on.
Coming back. You just
yeah.
gelatinous, your cells break down. I don't think, without having read into cryogenics, maybe this is a topic we should cover because I'm curious as to what the actual science is versus the grift of like, we'll freeze ya.
Mm-hmm.
Give us some money. We'll freeze you. Unless the idea is that, like, they freeze, they can, like, take your cells. I mean, they are talking about how they're, like, regenerating and cloning things. But then you're a clone. You're not you. You're a clone.
Mm-hmm. Which I still don't fully understand how that works. If I'm a clone of Dave Stone, I don't have any of his memories or anything? Like, what's the clone do? What's the point of being a clone?
No, you're just, I'm sure people are doing it with their pets. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's rich people that are buying into a program to clone their pets because it's like, oh, look at it. Like, physical attributes, maybe personality traits, but you know, how much is nature versus nurture of why you are what you are? The experiences that were put into you make you what you are. Mm-hmm. So unless you could replicate those experiences, or maybe we're getting to some sort of free jack type of thing in the future where you could also download your essence and have that uploaded into your clone. Like how you can get a new MacBook with all your old shit on it.
Yeah, exactly. Just use the same SIM card or whatever.
Yeah, I think they'll get to it. I think they'll get to that. Not in our lifetime, but I think I could see that if we don't kill ourselves, that is a possibility. And then everybody's just hot people. You know, because nobody's like, some people, I don't know. Because then you could be like, I want that personality. Well, that was what Free Jack was. Wasn't that Free Jack, that movie?
I don't remember.
Or Free Jack. Am I thinking of?
What's Free Jack?
Was that the one with the... No, I'm going to fight.
You thinking of Billy Jack, the foot fighter? You ever see Billy Jack?
The fuck is a foot fighter?
He's a foot fighter. He's a karate expert. Be careful. He's a foot fighter. He'll kick you in the face. Billy Jack was always kicking somebody in the face.
No, Free Jack, I'm off. Shit. What was the one? God damn it. It was with Angela. I'm going to look it up. Angela Bassett. And who's... hold on, I'm going to find it. Remembered Angela Bassett because Angela Bassett.
Yeah, she's awesome. I saw her last night at the Oscars. Looking great. She's got to be,
of course.
Got to be 60. She looks like she's 28.
I'll tell you right now, she's 64.
Jesus Christ. She looks like she's in her early 40s.
Where the hell is this? I want to find this movie. I can't find this movie. It's an old, it's like the 90s. Hold on.
Free Jack.
It's not Free Jack.
New Jack City?
No, nothing to do with Jack.
Nothing to do with Jack.
I'll find it. You talk about the topic. I'll come back at you with it.
You want to get in this topic? It's one we've done before, but we've been doing this podcast so long now that I feel comfortable revisiting. Okay. Let's revisit some stuff.
Okay. It's a movie called Strange Days.
Strange Days.
Yeah.
And what's that about?
It is, here we go, set in the last 2 days of 1990. It came out in 95. Set in the last 2 days of 1999, the film follows the story of a black marketeer of recordings that allow a user to experience the recorder's memories and physical sensations as he attempts to uncover the truth behind the murder of a prostitute. So it's the same thing. Like, basically, you can relive somebody else's memories.
Okay.
But then you could get addicted. Like, the whole thing is, like, it's addictive because, like, this guy, I don't know if his, like, wife died, and he just kept replaying memories of when she was alive.
Uh-huh.
And it's almost, I could see it almost becoming, like, what virtual reality, I could see that being a threat or a concern, rather. Of, like, you're just addicted to the virtual reality. You cannot escape. You know, the actual reality is going to be so depressing and so 2D to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what happens. Ralph Fiennes is the guy who gets, like, hooked. From what I remember it being an interesting movie.
Yeah, I've never even heard of it.
Mostly, I think, because I went on a blind date to it that did not go well, so that's why I remember
that part.
It was
I don't know if
my buddy's friend date. Yeah, my buddy's friend was like, we're gonna take my friend, you guys, like, we'll all go. And I remember it was one of those things, like, as soon as we met, there's no social media, there's no pictures, as soon as we met, I could just see this girl's face, she was like, ugh. I'm like, all right, well.
And this was in 95.
Yeah, I'm like, that's good. I'm just here to watch the movie. I'm just here to eat some candy. Watch the movie.
As a young 18, 19-year-old Kyle Kinane.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, okay.
What did you think of her? Was she attractive? Were you into her?
I don't remember. I think I had, like, green hair or some shit, too. Like, I'm like, I was clearly limiting myself to... shrinking my own dating pool with some of my moves. So she was a civilian. She was just a regular. So I just remember being like, all right, I got it. How about we just have fun?
Oh, that's so funny. This is when, so you're living at home still, obviously. Are you working at the gas station at this time?
18. Where was I in 95? 95 might have still been in high school.
Yeah, I graduated in 95.
Yes, I don't remember.
Your
if it
class
was
in 95.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was in the second half or what.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, release date, October 6th. No, it would have been at community college.
Okay.
Fall of 95 at the community college. I think I was still working at the old donut factory. Green hair working at the donut factory.
And this young lady wasn't impressed.
No, because you know I had so much to offer. Living at home, loading donut trucks, trying to play music. What's not to love?
Oh, man.
College.
I'd like to go back in time and hang out with that dude.
I wouldn't. I was there. He sucked.
Oh, man.
I get a little, I see, it's fun to be, I don't, like, I forget, only at the gym when I see myself, like, coming out of the shower or the sauna with just a towel out of the gym, and I'm like, you're old as fuck, dude. Like, I don't realize it at home. I'm not looking at my reflection at home, so I never see, like, yeah, I'm like at the gym. I think I'm like, I'm in shape, but I'm just dumpy and like long gray chest hair and a white beard. I'm like, you're old as shit. And I'm like in the locker room, like, I could probably fight these dudes. I could probably, you know, Eastern Violence these guys or whatever that movie was called that went down. Flip over a bench with my dink out, karate kick a bunch of dudes. Like, not. Then my knee gives out and I'm trying to put my shoes on. Like, no, you're not gonna. But to see tattoos and like to see the trends of tattoos,
mm-hmm.
how like, oh, I'm like, you know, mine are kind of, they're whatever. I have them, you know, you can regret them, but you're still like, I got them. I accept them.
I think you have nice tattoos. I think they all work for you.
Oh, thanks, buddy. I mean, some of them are silly. Some of them like, oh, I didn't think about placement or design. But now to see what the trends had gone through of like everybody like, oh, tribal tattoo always stood for like the doofus. But like that era of tattoo is that like now it's, I finally learned the term for sacred geometry. Like that's the one everybody has now.
Oh, what is that? I don't know.
It just looks like a bunch of M.C. Escher drawings, which is what I thought they were. But it's a sacred geometry. It's like magic eye art shit.
Okay.
But it's like the study of spiritual meaning of various shapes.
Ugh.
The spiral of a stale shell, captivating pattern of a single snowflake. It's that kind of shit. It's like a mathematical dream catcher is all it is. But again, I laugh at it because I'm like, oh, this will mark you.
What was your first tattoo?
A fucking compass on my calf. I've made that joke. I could have just gotten the words Lollapalooza 94. And it would mean the same thing. But that's what it's, when I was like started comedy, there was a guy who was like, he was like a metal dude, heavy metal guy that kind of was still doing comedy. But he's like, why would you get a fucking tattoo? It's like, all it says is like, this happened this year. He's like, it's just a fashion. He's like, why not just get parachute pants tattooed onto your legs? Because that's what I see when you get a tattoo. And I'm like, oh, man, he knew it then. But to look at like how many of the old timey microphones, you know, the rockabilly era, mid 90s tattoos, which I thought were fucking gorgeous, gave way to, you know, what was the stick and poke was, that's the thing now, like, oh, minimalist tattoos, which is like, at least with those, you can get them covered up or they go away after a while. But they look cool now. I'm like, that looks like a cool person now. And I feel corny. I'm like, yeah, well, run into them in 20 years.
I didn't get my first tattoo till I was 35. That's probably,
yeah, you should poor have known judgment. Better.
Yeah, I should have. But I think at that point, it was like, I don't give a fuck.
That's kind of how it is now. It's like, what is this temple bullshit? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
These were all
I got some others.
Came with some stories.
I got some others that I'm planning. You going to get any more? Or are you past that?
It's really more of a mood thing. I don't have any plans. It's really more of a, fuck it, let's go get tattoos. There's nothing. There's temples in ruins. May as well spray paint on it before they tear it down and put up a Walmart.
Yeah, it don't matter.
Yeah.
It don't matter. Hey, speaking of the Oscars, mutual
we weren't
colleague
speaking
of ours.
Of the Oscars.
Yeah. We don't talk too much about like behind the scenes stuff, but we share an entertainment lawyer, and he got a shout out last night at the Oscars. Oh, Jeff.
Oh, did he?
You still with Jeff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jeff Cohen of the Goonies fame.
Yeah.
Entertainment lawyer. They were just talking about, I forgot the guy's name, but the guy who played Data.
Ki-Hai Kwan.
Goonies. Yeah, he won an Oscar last night.
Yeah.
Everywhere, everything, all at once. But yeah, he won an Oscar for that, and he gave a shout-out to his buddy Jeff, who former co-star.
That's
and I guess
cool.
Jeff is his attorney, and he did the financial stuff and the business stuff when that actor signed up for that movie.
So, that's that was weird. Cool. Man, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff is a real just always in a good mood. He's
Jolly.
Positive. He's positive energy.
Mm-hmm. And that was a great, he was a great child actor. Like, that was a great role.
Yeah.
Great character. That's one I got to go back and see. I haven't seen Goonies in a while.
Filmed here in Astoria, Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Also, last night they had some jets fly over, some fighter jets fly over, I guess, kind of a nod to Top Gun. And I heard them here. I'm literally less than 2 miles away from whatever theater that is. But I'm sitting here watching the Oscars, and it's like, you know, you hear a lot of planes and helicopters and stuff around here, but man, when you hear a fighter jet fly by, it's a whole different animal.
I get
I was like, what the fuck? And then I'm watching the Oscar, like, oh, that's those planes are these planes. Okay, yeah.
We get them. They do training. I don't know if it's an Air National Guard or what, out of PDX does training around here. But it is definitely a much different sound than what you would normally recognize of plane. I remember the first time I'm like, what's, you know, especially getting up here, we got up here at the beginning of pandemic, and mm-hmm. there was that uncertainty. There was, you know, all the unrest and the protests, and especially in Portland. And then to hear jets, you're like, what? What's mm-hmm. going on? What are they not telling
it's
us?
Scary.
It's like, oh, they just do
it's
these
scary.
Training runs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's scary.
Well, you want to talk about a thing? We talked about a lot of things, Dave.
We talked about a lot of things, man.
We talked
about
cryogenics. That's a topic in its own right, being frozen and trying to come back. Because, you know, if it's like intentional reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
I'll explore that more even later.
That'd be a great topic. I've always been interested in that. Not enough to do any research, but it is a fascinating topic.
But like if you're going to bring me back with my essence, just take my essence and put it in somebody with, you know, better genetics.
Mm-hmm.
Give me at least 5'10". Let me be 5'10" with some hair.
That'd be nice.
More of a chin. Like if we're gonna go fucking around with the future,
mm-hmm.
take a little bit off the dick. I'm sick of carrying this hog around.
Get too much hog.
God, man, trying to get a pair of Old Navy jeans that fit right. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sick of making my tailor blush.
This isn't by no
where
way
do you want a, where do you want the extra room, the left leg or the right leg in these, Kyle?
This is in no way a cryptic humble brag, but I remember being a child and always shopping for like school clothes with my mom, and you can never just pick up a pair of jeans and buy them. You had to always try them on. Oh, my God. They're a little tight in the crotch.
Need some Wranglers for my huge dick kid over here.
Jeez. Mom, I mean, this would go on until I was like 12. I was like almost a teenager, and I'm sitting there trying on pants with my mom and my grandma, and they're both like poking around at my crotch. Oh, they're a little snug there. Little snug in the, like, come on.
All right, well, can I put it this way? Did you have a big ass?
Oh, I've been girthy my whole life.
Okay. Yeah. You know, because I don't, like, they're not really cutting toddler jeans.
Yeah.
I think they're just stamping them out. So I think if you got your ass might be scooping the denim away from the crotch. Yeah, I'm not doubting.
That's probably what it was.
Yeah, I'm not doubting. You know.
No, but that's in reality, that's probably what it was. I was using some of the real estate in other areas, and it would tighten up in other parts.
Your juicy little ass was taking up a lot of room in those lees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I do remember when I was a kid, I had to wear special jeans. What were they called? Like, for little fat kids? Huskies?
Huskies, yeah.
Huskies?
Tuskins? Well, that's because you were either like emaciated or you were husky. That was it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was the emaciated end. I grew like I had never touched calcium until I was 12. Yeah, I grew at the rate of like a Kenyan marathon runner. Fucking 4'7" and 98 pounds until I was a freshman.
Oh, man. I hit a growth spurt. I remember between the summer between 9th and 10th grade, I know shit gained like 50 pounds in a couple of months because it was like everything hit at once. Like puberty kicked in and I started working out because I was playing football. But I went from like 160 to like 210 in a few months. I was like, good Lord.
Jesus.
And it wasn't all fat. Like, yeah, it was, you know, some of it, but I broadened out and put on a little muscle mass, but like, yeah, in one summer gained 50 pounds.
Yeah. Still waiting for that.
Yeah.
Still waiting for that one.
What do you weigh now? You're what? Let me guess. 170, 175?
Right at 170. I float at 170.
I haven't weighed 170 since I was 13 years old.
I'm the same size as 13-year-old Dave.
Yeah. Yep. I haven't been sub 200 in a quarter century.
I don't focus on the weight loss part as much as, like, do I feel good and do I feel a little stronger and a little more stamina? You know,
I'll still hit the gym once.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go after this.
There you go.
Mostly just fucking fight off this weather, man. It's antidepressant purposes, really.
Yeah.
I'm just laying around. There's nothing to even, not even the bike stuff, but California, like, yeah, I'm going to walk down to the thing. I'm going to ride my bike over the thing. I'm going to go hike around. Mm-hmm. Just, it's so easy. Really take it for granted of just like what, like just weather that's not just wet and shitty and preventative. And I know that's what it is here. And there's still, people are still out walking. They don't look happy.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also, I'm also in the suburbs. It's not like, oh, well, there's cool shit nearby. Like, what am I going to go fucking hang out at Best Buy? Which reminds me, I do have to go to Best Buy. But I'm not going to hang out there, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's not a good hang spot. It's not like the mall.
No, I can't fuck around over at Best Buy.
I used to love going to the mall before I could drive. My mom will take us if your mom picks us up.
That's what you did.
Food court. Oh, man. There was nothing. The freedom. A little fat kid who loves to eat before he could drive. The freedom of the food court. I got $9 to blow at any one of these 12 different little restaurants. Oh, boy.
My buddy worked at the arcade in the mall. And he had to wear like a vest. But he was like a portlier fella. He's like, guy's like, no, it's like out of a movie. He's like, it's the only vest we have left. He's like, I can't even button it. And they're like, it's the only one we got left. stuck wearing his.
That's the worst. I've been
little
there.
The poorly fitted uniform of any job.
Yep.
Yeah, I think the 3 days I worked at Bressler's Ice Cream, 31 flavors. It was like an extra large. Like it like hung down like a dress, a pink polo shirt. It's fucking humiliating.
See, I went the other way. Mine were always too small.
This is how they dress a kidnapped victim after they rescue him. Like, just give me anything that's laying around.
Just cover him up.
Got to keep him warm. Put him in the back of the squad car.
Oh, my God. All right, buddy. Well, I got to go sling my kettlebells around, speaking of health and fitness.
Yeah, I got to go like the stair climber is my thing nowadays.
Oh, yeah?
I think it puts me up at a vantage point in the gym. I can kind of oversee what's going on in the rest of the area.
Yeah, it's important. You gotta see what's going on.
Yeah, I gotta complain about the stairs I have to walk up to the second floor to use the stair climber. All right.
Where you got anything? Where are you gonna be soon? Where you at?
Well, what is it? Today is the 15th. Tomorrow, if you wanted to pre-order my special, you could.
Oh, but right,
it's free
right.
on the 30th. People, it is free on the 30th. It is absolutely free on the 30th. Free to you. Free.
Well, you don't want people to pre-order, get the sneak peek?
My intention was for it to be free.
Gotcha.
The label needs to recoup expenses.
Gotcha.
So that's...
I saw the cover art. I like that. Shocks and Struts.
Yeah, I didn't get my guy couldn't do it this year, so it was a kind of a last minute grab some clip art for the thing. But it turned out, you know, they whipped it up
looks
pretty
good
there. So,
well, but yeah,
what do we got? We got Cannon Beach Comedy Festival this weekend, Cannon Beach, Oregon. I'm gonna be out there. Brett Weinbach's doing it Friday night. I'm doing it Saturday night. I'm gonna go out there. Yeah. I think I'm gonna go out there a day early. We'll see what shape
like
his cat's in. Yeah, Weinbach, a little weirdo.
Is he still doing the Henry Rollins holding the mic with two fists thing? I haven't seen him in a while. He used to rock that all the time.
I mean, I don't know.
Only comic ever seen do that.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing.
I opened for him years ago when I first started. He was like the first like non-clubby headliner I worked with. And, you know, people know Brett, just really off the wall, just such a weird creative dude.
Yeah.
But he would just stand up there and do an hour. Holding the mic double-fisted, like a punk singer.
Yep.
I was like, yeah, that's a pretty cool way to do it, Brent.
He's got his own thing.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Well, good times, buddy. I finally have something to plug. I don't know if I'm supposed to say this yet, but, you know, I kind of play by my own rules, Kyle. But just finalized a date for my new special, May 5th.
That's May 5th what we're talking about.
On everything's dropping at once. It would be on YouTube. You can listen to it on Spotify, and then you can pre-order the vinyl, doing a nice double LP vinyl. But yeah, May 5th, pack a lunch.
Pack a lunch.
Pack a lunch, motherfucker.
Still like that as a title.
So yeah.
Pack a lunch.
Be on the lookout for that shit.
Hell yeah, buddy. Congrats.
Good times. Thank you, buddy. I'm excited about
it. Really,
first,
we're really out here
first
doing
actual
it.
Special. My first actual special.
Proper special.
I tell you what, I'm so sick of looking at my face, this whole process of like trying to edit and all this shit. Like, I hate it. Ironically, I hate it right now, but hopefully people will like it.
That's how I feel about mine.
I'm too close to it.
I couldn't look at it anymore. I'm just like, I don't. All I know is I've done these jokes after I recorded this, and immediately was like, well, this is how the joke should have gone.
Yep.
Fuck.
That's happened to me with every album, you know?
Yeah, it's inevitable.
It's always a better version right after you record it.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
But, these are our problems. Well, good times, buddy. We almost got to a topic. We'll save that for next week.
We talked about stuff. We talked about Boogie Monster stuff. We got
talked
to
about
it.
Stuff. But well, right on, buddy. Will you have fun at your festival?
Thanks, man. Enjoy
be,
that.
Be safe at the gym. Stretch out. Don't forget to breathe.
Stretching is my big part.
Yeah, buddy. All right, man. Well, you you keep between the ditches. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, get loose.
The Boogie Monster. Network.
Hey, Ben, Adam.
What's up, dude?
Yep. Have you guys heard this new podcast where the hosts are trying to save the world through self-improvement challenges? They've done stuff like they microdosed shrooms, they swam with Olympians, they even gave up plastic for a week. It's pretty crazy. I mean, most comedy podcasts, the hosts just sit around and talk about old TV shows, but this podcast are actually doing something.
Yeah, Andrew, that's our podcast.
What?
Okay, that's, it's not a new podcast. It's called The Grolic Saves the World. And I hate to break this to you. You were in all of those episodes.
Are you sure? That doesn't sound like something I do. The Grolic Saves the what?
Yeah, The Grolic Saves the World, Andrew. Grolic, G-R-A-W-L-I-X. The comedy trio you've been part of for decades. It's the Grolic Saves the World podcast. It's our podcast, buddy.
G-R-A, what is, hang on, let me go get a pencil.
G-R-A-W-L-I-X.
You don't own any pencils. Adam, new challenge. How about this? How about we kick Andrew out and we just do a podcast with the two of us?
You know, I don't hate it.
Yeah.
I got a pen.
Andrew, Grolic Saves the World podcast, Starburns Audio Network.